Have your Bible with you. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. You've heard preachers tell about struggling with a message or a thought, trying to determine what is to be preached, whether it be the subject material or the text, what it is. Sometimes it's just a real difficult proposition to zero in and narrow something down. Sometimes it falls right into place. Those of you that have been up here, you probably have an understanding of that. Wednesday night services or even preaching. It's always a concern to make sure that you're doing the right thing, especially when you're just not sure. You want to be sure. I'm not real sure why the Lord drew my attention and led me this direction this morning. Not that I know the reasons why, but there's just times that most of the time it feels seems to click or whatever you want to call it. And this morning I'm kind of grasping for straws or at straws trying to find the clicking. If you would stand with me this morning as we read this portion of Scripture. Really, when it comes down to it, God's Word is God's Word, and it doesn't return unto Him void. So we give God's Word. And as hearers, we receive God's Word. I want to begin reading with verse number 1. You can continue down through verse 6. I think I'll conclude with verse 6 today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He, God, is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. And in Him is no sin. Father, we need Your divine touch and anointing this morning. I pray that You would bless the reading of Your Word to our hearts. Help us to be receptive. Give that anointing to the speaker as well as to the hearer. Give Your touch, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Somebody said, I'm tied up to the major personality, like a beam of sunshine to the sun. I'll not lose my power unless He loses His. I'm tied up to the major personality, like a beam of sunshine to the sun. I'll not lose my power unless He loses His. There's so many things in this passage that a person could preach on. You could really narrow it down to sections at a time and preach entire messages. Verse number 5, though, gives us something that we have to have an understanding of before we can grasp the truth of the message this morning. And that is where John is recording here that he came, he was manifested to take away our sins. He wasn't manifested to hide our sins. And though we use the word cover our sins with his blood, he wasn't manifested to cover our sins. He was manifested to take away our sins. I believe we have to have that as a basis, as an understanding, before we can grasp the fullness of what John is saying. Now, I know that we have an understanding, that we probably all basically, at least all of us that have any basic knowledge at all, we have that understanding that God is without sin. And that's what John tells us, and in Him is no sin. Even though Jesus lived a human life, He walked this earth, He faced the same things that we face, in Him was or is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. One writer would tell us that this is the goal of Christian holiness, is a life above sin. We can find recorded in the first chapter of this epistle, or excuse me, the second chapter of this epistle, that John is giving us the plan of the Christian life. The plan is, I write unto you that ye sin not. We have to understand that. We have to grasp that. That is of necessity. We will never find the fullness of God. We will never receive the fullness of God without that in our mind. If we think that He came to cover or to hide our sin, and that the plan is that we can sin all the time, then we will never experience the fullness of God. It doesn't matter what your doctrinal basis or background is. It doesn't matter what you want to lend yourself to. The basis is, the plan is that we, as His followers, sin not. And whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Now, someone would say, well, there's times that I fall short. There's times that I have fallen short. Somebody may look at that and say, well, because I have fallen short of my goal, or I have fallen short of the goal, then what am I to do? Or they use some kind of an excuse to cover up that falling short. Let me give to you two possibilities or two reasons why a person would fall short of that goal. The first one would be that you have not yet found the full secret of abiding in Him. You have not found the fullness of Him. You say, well, if that's the first one, what's the second possibility that would cause somebody to fall short of the goal of not sinning? Well, the second one would be that somewhere along the line, a point was made, or a place, a line was crossed where a person ceased to abide in Him and moved into an area of self-dependence. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you find it easy to depend on self, you would probably say, no, not me. But I dare say that in the quietness of our own thinking, that we each one have at least a measure of an issue of self-dependence. We can depend on ourselves. You know, there's some things that I can do for myself. It's easy to slip over into that category or into that area of self-dependence. And I believe that that's what this thought would present to us, that you've either found the fullness you have not found the fullness of divine presence, the fullness of what He is presenting, the secret of His presence, or you have left off abiding in Him and have launched in or slipped over into the area of self-dependence. Some of you have no clue what I'm about to say. You have no understanding of this because of your personal experience. But I moved 9 times before my 15th birthday. I had a different address 9 times before my 15th birthday. Or excuse me, before my 16th birthday. I was 15 on that 9th move. I lived in a lot of different places. But just because I lived there don't mean I still live there. I moved. And even on the 10th move, when I left home and came to Indiana, never to return home again as it was before, never to be living in the home again as it was before, I still had my address there. My license, driver's license, indicated that my address was in Pennsylvania. But I didn't live there. I had moved. I believe that John is indicating something here along that line this morning. Whosoever abideth in Him, not just has an address. Oh yeah, I live there, see? That's my address. But no, I abide there. You know, it's kind of strange that I've lived in Indiana much longer than what I lived in Pennsylvania. But somehow, in my mind, when we talk about it, Tyrone, Pennsylvania is still home. Tyrone is still what I call home. Where you go? Well, we're going to go home. We're going to Mom and Dad's. It's not home anymore, but somewhere in my mind, it's still that lodging that was the basis. That was the headquarters. That was the home place. Even though we moved all over the place around, that was the home place. But I didn't abide there all of my life. That was just what I called home. John is saying, whosoever abideth in Him. Not moving over into the area of self-dependence. But abiding in Him would indicate that there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God that has purified the heart to where He abides within as well. Say, well, how could it be that I've crossed over that line of into the area of self-dependence? And maybe it was just only moments before. Maybe it was just a few seconds before the check of the Holy Spirit was felt, but was failed to be received. Have you ever heard or felt the check of the Holy Spirit, but you didn't pay attention to it until after the fact? And then your mind goes back and you recall that point in time where the Holy Spirit tried to get your attention. And that check of the Holy Spirit that was ignored, that check that came from deep within was ignored. And then something took place that disturbed the Spirit. Somewhere in that area of failing to follow the check of the Holy Spirit and the slipping and failing to obey the voice, comes that instant or that point in time where you slip over into the area of self-dependence and no longer abide. You may still have the address written on your license, but you're not abiding. Perhaps the point of departure was further back. Maybe it was some time ago. Maybe it was even less a point of consciousness that you really didn't sense it, you really didn't feel it. Well, there's all sorts of scenarios that we could present. There's circumstances in life that we can present as the possibilities that would lend itself to that point where I slip into the area of self-dependence and no longer abide. Maybe it's an interaction with somebody else. Maybe it's just because I'm too busy, too much in a hurry. Some songs that we sing can cause us a little bit of humor or at least a little bit of a raising of the eyebrow when we pause and really think about them. You know, the songwriter penned the words, "Take time to be holy," and yet we rush around going through the drive-through. I mean, the spiritual drive-through. And when there's a delay at the drive-through, please pull ahead for a few moments. We'll bring it out to you as soon as it's ready. You got to be kidding me. The delays in life. And then we come to church and we sing, "Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder today. Don't you need those from time to time?" I think we probably do. Maybe we didn't allow the voice of God to speak to us through His Word the way that He wanted it to speak to us. Maybe our focus was such that we failed to receive what God was intending for us to receive, whether it's in the preaching of God's Word at church or we hear something from somebody else or in our own personal reading. I didn't take the time to let God speak to me. Or maybe it's just simply that I didn't take the time to let God know that I still love Him. Maybe I didn't take the time to allow God to reassure me of His presence. Songwriter penned the words of the song that we sang this morning. I don't know who penned these words because it tells us in our book there that the author of the third stanza is unknown. But it said, "I would be constantly in touch with God." Did you catch that when we sang it? I would be constantly in touch with God. I would be tuned to hear His slightest whisper. I would have faith to keep the path Christ trod. It's incredible. Incredible song or thought that goes along with this thought of the message this morning. You see, abide is not simply a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence, but it's an all-the-time occurrence. As a matter of fact, the Amplified gives it to us this way, of the word abide. Who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to Him, and deliberately, knowingly, and habitually. Wow, that's quite a definition of abide. That indicates to me that my license, when I was 17 years old, 18 years old, 19 years old, that said I lived in Pennsylvania but lived in Indiana, it tells me that I did not abide where my license said I lived. abide. He who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to Him and deliberately, knowingly, and habitually. Let's look at some points here that can summarize this for us. And I'm going to give it to you exactly the way A.F. Harper gives it. First of all, there is no promise to keep me above sin except as I abide in Him. There is no promise to keep me above sin except as I abide in Him. Are you abiding in Him today? Are you abiding in Him tomorrow? Is it more than just an address on your license? Abiding in Him. The second thing that I see in his writing is that there is no way to abide in Him once and for all time. But it's habit. It's deliberate. It's knowingly. The third is there is a way to come to Him in a decisive moment of commitment and cleansing. There is a way to come to Him in a decisive moment of commitment and cleansing, to abide in Him. The fourth thing he says is, but the commitment of that hour is only the beginning of a life that commits every hour. Or we could zero that down a little bit. The commitment of that moment is only the beginning of a life that commits every moment. The fifth thing is the faith for cleansing is a faith to be cultivated daily and to be exercised in every hour of need. So when we read this passage of Scripture, we don't just quickly slide over it. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. And then we go about our business. Without a full understanding that this is a requirement, this is of necessity, that there is an abiding that must take place in order to fulfill the plan that ye sin not. Full freedom from sin depends upon abiding in Him every conscious moment. Because in Him is no sin. You know this song, His will I have joy in fulfilling as I'm walking in His sight. My all to the blood I am bringing. It alone can keep me right. Abideth in Him. Let's stand together today.